Glad to be able to do that. Well, let's go ahead and take your Bibles tonight. Let's go ahead and open up to the book of 1 Thessalonians, where we have been at before together. For those of you who are in my Sunday school class, you're going to recognize what you're going to hear tonight. I think I see two. I see Spurgeon and I see Jackie. So sometimes of necessity you need to do that. Let me explain why. First of all, as Pastor said, I'm pinch hitting. So if you don't have a whole lot of time to pull something together, sometimes you need to do that. And the second reason is that what I'm going to speak on tonight, I was kind of anticipating Pastor wasn't going to be here. And the reason being is because tonight we're going to talk about people. And I told Pastor, I said, I'm going to embarrass you tonight. And he's like, how so? And the reason being is because what I want us to look at tonight is something from the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, where it talks about church leadership. Our pastors, our deacons, our respect, our appreciation for them. In my own fearful flesh, I would probably say, regardless of maybe if Pastor were here or not, I might say, this is something I wouldn't want to speak on, because I feel like I'm treading on very careful ground. But again, sometimes the Lord in His providence has you speak on these things, because that's what He would like God's people to hear. And again, as Pastor, I've heard Pastor say this many times, probably more than I've heard maybe any other pastor say, that he wants to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. And so that's what we want to do tonight. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll look here at verses 12 and 13. Then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, here beginning at verse 12, it says this, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this time to be here and to look at your word. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you've put into your word. Lord, everything that's there is profitable for us. And Lord, things that we need to hear from you, things that we need to grow by. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us, Lord, your infallible, perfect word to guide us and direct us and to help us to grow to be more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. So Lord, we thank you for this time and for this opportunity to look at your word. Pray again that you would guide and direct, Lord, what you would have for us, and Lord, how you would want us to apply it to our lives. So, Lord, again, we ask for your help now, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A few years ago, I think it was 2010, if all of you who are Bears fans here remember, if you remember, it was, for us, the game of the century, right? It was the Bears versus the Green Bay Packers. We remember that correctly, right? And in that game, this wasn't just any rivalry game that we've had in the past. This was to go to the Super Bowl. And we thought, if we can beat the Packers in this particular game, we'll have bragging rights, for who knows how long. Anybody remember what happened in that game in the second half? What key thing? Right there in the back. Right. Jay Cutler got hurt. Anybody remember who came in for that? Came in for him after that? Yeah. Anyone remember who came in before Calvin Haney? Todd Collins. I remember that night, and I must confess, as the after church got done that night, I was in a real quick mood to get home. So I got home, turn on the TV, start watching. Jay Cutler gets hurt. Todd Collins comes in, and I said to my wife, and she remembers these words. I said, "We're doomed. We are doomed." Because I knew, Todd Collins was nowhere like Jay Cutler, and then Calvin Haney comes in and says, "Oh, we're doomed even further." And of course, we all know the end story. Todd Collins was terrible. Caleb Haney almost pulled off the comeback of the century, and had Caleb Haney done that, he would never have had to have bought another meal in Chicago ever again the rest of his life. But again, we're doomed. If you look at the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we've talked about this in the recent past. The book of 1 Thessalonians, as we've talked about this, Anybody remember the background? We've talked a little bit about this about these people. Other than people who've been in my class. All right. These people were what? What kinds of believers were these people? Paul comes in. We say he was there about three weeks, maybe to 3 months. He preaches the gospel to these people. These people come. They get saved. And then, as Acts 17 tells us, Paul had to leave unexpectedly. So these people were relatively what? Wait, I hear diverse voices. Yeah, these were young believers that you're looking at here. These were young believers. Young believers in Christ. Now, as we see, as we look at the New Testament, when Paul established a church, of necessity for a church, even though it was a group of young believers, of necessity, what was the one thing that he had to help establish? What was the one thing that he had to kind of put into place before he would move on? Leadership, right. Leadership. Pastors and deacons. Pastors and deacons. But again, these people that were in this church, these were young believers. And of necessity, even these people who were here, still young in the faith. Young in the faith. But Paul said, of necessity, someone has to be in charge. Someone has to be in leadership of this church. Now, the one thing that we find here is that, if you remember when we talked about it in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 1, we say that Paul talks about the Thessalonians' testimony. In chapter 2, he talks about his own ministry testimony. If you remember this from past times, we've studied this out. As you get to chapter 3, and Paul says, I became concerned about you as a church. I became concerned about you as a church because I understood that you were going through persecution. You were going through trials. You were going through difficulty. Anybody remember who he sent to the Thessalonian church to check in on them and see how they were doing? Timothy. He sends Timothy. So he receives Timothy's report. He receives Timothy's report from this church, how they were doing, how they were continuing to be faithful, how they were continuing to serve the Lord. As you get down to chapters 4 and 5, okay, then you find that Timothy brings back from this church different questions that they had. And then Paul in 1 Thessalonians answers those particular questions. They had particular issues, particular concerns that were on their mind, things that Paul couldn't get to them during his time that he was actually with them. One of the concerns that Timothy obviously had brought back was this issue about church leadership. Because again, think about it. Here Timothy comes and he visits these people, and I can maybe just kind of see it. You know, some of these people maybe get Timothy off to the side and say, Brother Timothy, we need to talk to you about our pastor. We need to talk to you about these deacons that, Paul put over this church. Do you realize who we have here in our leadership? You know what, Timothy? We're doomed. We're doomed. You mean Paul put, let's just pick a name. You mean Paul put Stephanas as our pastor? Paul put, I can't think of a bunch of Greek names, Paul put James and put Matthew as our deacons? Are you kidding me? Tim, think about this. We're doomed. Surely he could have put someone better, someone more qualified, somebody, maybe this person, he could have put them in leadership, couldn't he? And with that in mind, Paul comes back here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and he says this, and we beseech you, we beg you, we urge you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So with that being said, and we look at those two verses, there are three things that Paul asks this church to do. things that he asks them to do. He says, in relation to those who are in leadership above you, in church leadership, as your pastor, as your deacons, there are three things that I ask you to do. Let me read those verses again. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. What are those three things that Paul asks them to do in those two verses? In verse 12, what's the first thing he asks them to do? Say what? Recognize. Okay, and what's the word he uses there? To know. Okay? He says, first of all, I want you to know them. Okay? What's the second thing he asks them to do? Okay, we're getting that those who admonish you, okay? But there's a second thing, in verse 13, the second thing he says, not only to know them, but in verse 13 he says to do this, esteem them, okay? And then also in verse 13, there's one last thing he asks them to do. He says to do what? Be at peace. And he adds on there, be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. So know, esteem, and be at peace among yourselves. Let's touch on these here just a little bit. The word that Paul uses here on this word know, there's two different words for know that you find in the New Testament. One is, again, is just a general head knowledge. I see this, I recognize this fact, and so on and so forth. I cognitively recognize this. The word that Paul uses here is, he says, I want you to get to a little bit of a deeper meaning here. I don't want you to just, look at the pastor and look at the deacons and recognize, all right, this guy somehow, three times a week, comes up with three sermons, and he stands up here and he preaches them. Anybody can do that, right? Or the deacons. Okay, yeah, these are the guys that serve at tables. These are the guys that take care of the widows and those who are infirm. Okay, they do all that. Okay, I recognize that. Paul says, no, I don't want you to just come to a surface meaning. I don't want you to just recognize, okay, yeah, they do these things. He goes, I want you to come to a deeper understanding of what it is that they do and the spiritual nature by which they do it. Some of us never know and understand the work and the burdens that they carry. Some of us will never know the phone calls that they take at all hours of the day and night, the issues that they listen to, the people, as I've said today, that come into their office unannounced, the burdens that they carry, the breadth of the work that they do. When I was first saved, the pastor that married us, his name is Pastor Lewis Showers. And when I was first saved, I used to go to his office unannounced. And I would come and I would have a list of questions, things I wanted to talk about. And not necessarily deep counseling issues. These were just biblical things or questions I had about Christian life and theology and things like that. And I would just show up unannounced. And I remember one time I came, and Pastor Showers, to this day, still he uses a typewriter. He doesn't use a computer, he uses a typewriter. And I remember I showed up at his office one day, and he was sitting at his typewriter, and had his light on, lights were off, and he was working on probably a sermon, for all I know. And I walked in unannounced and just basically said, can we talk? And he proceeded, he got up from his typewriter, he had two chairs, and off, we sat down in one chair, I sat in the other, and we sat and talked, I don't know, hour and a half. I had no idea. I had no idea what this man had on his plate. I had no idea what burdens he was carrying. It could have been a Wednesday night for all I knew. And I learned as an associate pastor, I did enough Wednesday night sermons that sometimes, just by nature of the position and what you do, sometimes you're going right up to 7 o'clock to make sure you have everything done. He never batted an eye. He never mentioned anything about his time. Never acted like he was frustrated. He sat down and answered my questions. Paul says, for these men, who are serving you in the Lord, he said, I want you to come to a deeper knowledge of the burden and the work that they do, the spiritual work that they do, the position that they have, the work that they carry. He says, get to know that on a deeper level, not just a surface level. Second thing, this word esteem, where he says here, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. The word that you find there for the, again, this idea of esteem and then to esteem them very highly. And again, I want to word this carefully. That whole phrase there, you know, esteem and then esteem them very highly, particularly, again, it's the idea of, again, to put that in a position in a high and lofty place. And this is where I'm like, oh, you know, Pastor will be embarrassed out of his mind. One thing I want to separate from this is, it is to separate the office from the man. The office from the man. Again, it is that office that we exalt with respect and honor and appreciation. The idea being is, you know, maybe for you in your heart of hearts, okay? Maybe for you in your heart of hearts, you know, if pastor or if the deacons were to call you and say, hey, you want to go camping this weekend? You want to go to a Bulls game? You're thinking, they'd probably be the last person I want to go do that with. Maybe that's in your heart of hearts. But the idea is, that, again, the position that God has given to them, that respect, that appreciation. One of the things that I remembered from Pastor, and I thought about it since he mentioned it, and my brother has mentioned this too, because my brother was in the military, and still is. The idea, like with our president, you may disagree with him personally. You may not even like him personally. But the idea is you have respect for his office. The idea being that if President Obama walked through those doors right now, or President Clinton walked through those doors right now, and I'm touching on hot buttons because I know this will resonate. If John F. Kennedy were somehow to be able to walk through those doors right now, if FDR were to walk through those doors right now, all of us, out of respect for the position, would rise. If any of those presidents that I just mentioned, that probably as we looked at them, we would all disagree with maybe their morals, their character, their life, their positions that they take, wherever they would be, they would still play Hail to the Chief. It is respect for the office. And Paul says here to esteem them very highly. The word that's actually used there for the word highly is the word from which we get our word super. Super. There's a lot of people that we esteem and put in positions of honor and glory in our life. Okay? I remember last year, I had the privilege of going down to, they had like a Chicago Bulls fan appreciation night before the season started. And having never been there, I played this up to my kids. I said, oh, we're going to go, we're going to get autographs and things like this, you know. And I went and bought a basketball and I thought, we're going to try to get Derrick Rose's autograph. Are you kidding me? The line to get to his table was just humongously long. The only thing I got out of Derrick Rose that night was I got to walk past the crowd and I caught a glimpse of him sitting at his table. That's about all I got. Because they were hurrying the crowd along because they didn't want people to stand there and, you know, just create a mass there. That was all I got, was a glimpse. And you look at that and we put him in such a, you know, a high and lofty pedestal, someone to be respected, someone to be honored, someone to be glorified, and so on and so forth. But Paul says, your church leadership, the office that they hold should be esteemed very highly. Very highly. Now here's a question. Paul says, esteem them very highly for what? What does he follow up with? Someone, anybody, raise your hand. For their work's sake. Again, going back to this, knowing what it is that they do, knowing the burdens that they carry, understanding that, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. But just before that, it says, esteem them very highly in what? in love for their work's sake. Turn back, if you will. Again, it's a familiar passage, but I want to touch on it again. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. So many times this chapter governs our relationships with people. Actually, I shouldn't say so many times, all the time. And if we would do this a lot of the time, we would solve a lot of the interpersonal conflicts that we have. If you look at 1 Corinthians 13, he says this, starting at verse 4, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." Again, translate that back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says, "Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." We may not always understand, again, the decisions that are made. We may not know all the ins and outs of the thinking that went into that. But esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Don't talk about them behind their back. Don't criticize them behind their back unless you are willing to go to them face to face and discuss a decision or discuss a problem or discuss an issue. We should not be talking about that amongst ourselves. That's where Matthew 18 comes in. In short, Matthew 18, again, that whole chapter there, Matthew 18 deals with how we deal with interpersonal conflict within the church. The first step, you have an issue with somebody, go to them directly. Don't go to an intermediary. Don't do an end around them. Go to them directly. Secondly, if it can't be resolved that way, take someone with you. And you may need to do that. Again, I heard someone, a respected preacher that I know, he said he's gone through this process several times. He may go by himself several times before he goes to step two. If the issue is still not resolved, take someone with you. You may take someone with you several times. If it's still not resolved, then you bring it to the church leadership. But again, Paul says here, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Now here's the, again, just to follow up on a couple words here. He says, know them which do what? Which? What's the word he uses there? Know them which? Labor among you. I already touched on this a little bit. But the idea being here, the word labor, is you kind of whittle it down to its root meaning. One of the meanings that you find here at the root is to take a beating. To take a beating. And again, that gets back to what we talked about a little bit earlier. Sometimes our pastors and deacons, they take a beating. They take a beating. And some of those things, they'll never let you know. They will just continue on doing the work faithfully as God has called them to do it. They take a beating. That pastor, I mentioned some of those things from that pastor that when I was first saved. I remember my wife has told me that in earlier days, he would have someone or some people, they would slip anonymous letters under his door. Critical letters, harsh letters, just slip them under the door. They take a beating. Again, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Again, that respect, that honor, again, for the position. Now, with the minutes that we have left here, Let's look at this last one. Well, let me ask you this question. And I've already touched on it a little bit because I want to finish with this. Here's the question. Does holding our spiritual leaders in highest regard, as we should, does that ever mean not bringing up disagreements? Someone tell me yes or no. I heard someone say no. Why not? Someone else answered. Oh no. Who's going to save it? Say what? They can be wrong. Folks, now you're saying, oh my goodness, this is getting real uncomfortable in here. All right? I want it to be uncomfortable. Because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is, we in fundamentalism, we are very good about breaking down words and knowing definitions and knowing exegesis and things like that, but we're terrible about applying it. We're terrible about applying it. And what we're doing now is the work of applying it. So again, they can be wrong. How do we handle that? I've already kind of given you the answer a little bit. How do we handle that if we have disagreement within the church or disagreement with a pastor or a deacon? How do you handle that? Okay? Go to them. What was the other one? Say, I heard, go to them, what? Okay? Go to them with another person. And then as we talked about in the last one, if it's still not resolved, then you may need to bring it before the church leadership. Now, part of the reason why I say this, what is one of the things that we teach our kids not to do when they're little? Okay, good. Not this one. What? Not to lie? Okay, good. How about this one? As I've gotten. You hear something like, Dad, and I'll use my kids' names. They always tell preachers, don't do that. I will in this instance. Dad, Lance got in the cupboard and he got the cookies out. He wasn't supposed to. Snitching, tattletaling. Well, I've tried this with my kids before. I haven't, and in all honesty, I haven't done it as faithfully as I should. But I think it works because it's teaching them that biblical principle of Matthew 18. I've asked them, if you have a problem with that, you need to go back to Lance. Have you talked to Lance about that? No. You need to go back to Lance first. If that's a problem, you need to go back to Lance first. And if it doesn't stop, then you can come back to me. Folks, we would teach our kids, don't gossip, don't lie, don't snitch, don't tattle. But we as adults do it all the time. We do it in the church all the time. And unfortunately, we'll do it with our church leadership or about our church leadership all the time. The Bible says, know them which labor among you. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Why does Paul say that? What's the last thing he says? I already have it up there on the board. What's the last thing that he says? Why should we do this? To be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Know them which labor among you. Why? So that you will be at peace among yourselves. So that you will not look at one another and go, we're doomed. With these pastors and with these deacons, we're doomed. We're doomed. Last thing I want to bring up, and we'll finish with this. How should we handle it? How should we handle it when we have expressed our concern, our issue, or our disagreement with our authority, and he still doesn't see it our way? This is application, folks. How should we do that? Let's say we've gone and we've sat down with our pastor. We sat down with our deacon. We sat down with the pastor and the deacons, and we've laid out our issue. We've laid out our concern. And we've discussed it like Christian people among ourselves. And as we leave that office, we go, I still don't agree with that. What should we do? Pastor's going, oh, Jeff, just stop now. Please stop. Okay. What should we do? There's two things. Okay. I'll phrase that in just a minute. What else? What's the other thing we could do? What? Say that. This is not like Valerie, but say that nice and loud. So everybody can choose to submit. This is not original with me, but it's to me it's fairly obvious. This is what Jim Berg. He says there's two choices that you have. Now, this is going to be true whether it's your pastor, whether it's your deacon, whether it's your supervisor at work, whether it's your teacher at school, whether it's the policeman who stopped you on the way to the work, whatever. Pick any authority that you have over your life. And you have two choices. The first choice is to choose to submit. I don't understand the decision. I don't even agree with the decision. But you know what? I'm going to trust the authority that's above me. Because I know of their character. I know of their faithfulness. I know of their integrity. You know what? God does that with us all the time. There are some of you who are sitting here right now, you've had things happen in your life, and you don't understand why. Why on earth did God do this? Why did He allow this to happen? Why did He bring this person into my life? Why did He allow this opportunity to fail? Why did I not get that promotion? Why did our house go into foreclosure? Why is our bank account drained? Pick any of those situations you want, and you say, "I don't understand why." And you may have even been in the situation where maybe you've literally looked up to heaven and go, "I don't understand why." God says, "I'm not asking you to understand why. I'm just asking you to trust me. I'm asking you to trust me. Trust who I am. Trust my character. Trust my faithfulness. Trust my integrity. I'm asking you to trust me." It's at that point, folks, that we have to remember. Who is that authority that's put over us? Who is that earthly authority that's been put over us? Who put that earthly authority over us? God Himself. We have to remember that. And that's why I think as we go through the Scriptures, I think if you break down the Bible, you eventually get to the part of the Bible where you get to like the books of 1 Corinthians and then kind of working its way through Jude. I'm kind of generalizing here. But so many times in those books, God constantly reminds us and wants to remember, be faithful, be faithful, be faithful, be faithful. I want you to remember that, remember that, remember that, remember that. Be faithful, be faithful, be faithful. So many times, that's a lot of our solution to some of our spiritual problems. Remember, 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 remember. Remember who God is and what Christ has done for you and what God's planning to do, what God's looking to do in your life, what God's going to do in the future. Remember, remember, remember. We have those authorities over our lives, whether it's our pastors or our deacons or our teachers or our supervisors. Remember who put that authority over you. And then, as Valerie already said, trust. You're going to trust. God, I don't understand it. I don't understand why Pastor Schlegel made that decision. I don't understand why the deacons made that decision. But Lord, You put them over this church. You put them over my life. They are my spiritual leaders. And Lord, I may not agree with it. I may not understand it. But I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You. And then what follows on the heels of that then is obey. All of the Christian life can be summed up in those two words of the old hymn. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Remember, trust, obey. Now, let's go back to what was said over here a minute ago. I've done all that, and I still don't agree with it. I still just cannot get... Then the second option, you may have to consider, does God want me to change this authority? Is God moving me on somewhere else? Maybe a different job? Maybe a different position? Maybe a different church? I can't say that for sure. But if you have an authority over your life, and there's that disagreement, and there's that struggle there, there's those two options. Trust and obey. Or maybe consider before the Lord, Lord, are you wanting me to make a change? Those are the only two choices you got. There's no middle ground there. Because what you don't want to do is then be in a place where you're constantly in disagreement, and you're constantly criticizing either in your heart or to other people. You're constantly questioning. And then what happens? Then you... lost all my markers. Then you spiral down into what? Book of Hebrews talks about this. Let no what? Root of bitterness be among you. Let no root of bitterness be among you. Because why? What does the rest of that verse say? Because why? Because many will be defiled. Many will be defiled. So again, what I brought here tonight, I recognize, not easy. Not easy to preach. Maybe not easy to take. And again, if I had my choice, I would probably say, uh-uh, Lord, I ain't saying that. Know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Why do that? So you can be at peace among yourselves. Peace among yourselves. In the curriculum that we've been using in my class, it actually says this quote, and I'll finish this with closing prayer. It says, a church with little respect for its leadership was headed for failure. A church with little respect for its leadership, was headed for failure. Paul wanted them to be aware of that. And down the hallways of time, God says, I want you to be aware of that too. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for, again, this opportunity to look at Your Word. And Lord, honestly, Lord, to look at a section of Your Word that's, again, maybe hard for some of us to listen to. But, oh Heavenly Father, I do thank You for the leaders that You have put over us. Leaders in our lives, at work, at home, in school, out and about the community. And Lord, as we specifically looked at tonight, the leaders within this church. Heavenly Father, if any one of those men were standing here tonight, we know that they would say that they're not perfect. They're not infallible. They make wrong decisions. They mess up. They don't know everything. But Lord, by Your grace, by Your power, and by Your help, they are doing the absolute best that they can. And Lord, as long as they... and they stand before You one day and say, Lord, by Your power and by Your help, did the absolute best I could with Your guidance. Lord, I know You're satisfied. I pray that You'd help each one of us who are here in this church. Those, Lord, who hear the message now, those who may hear the message down the road in another forum. Lord, we pray for our pastor. We pray for our deacons. We love them. Support them. Encourage them. Be whatever help we can be for them, for the work that they do. We've esteemed them highly in love for their work's sake, and that we as a church would be at peace among ourselves. So these things we ask now, in Jesus' name, amen.